So, welcome everyone to our Real Talk Farm Stress podcast series that we do here at Penn State Extension. I'm Sonia Nace, and I'm a food, families, and community educator based in the center of Pennsylvania in Dauphin County. Today, I'm really honored to have with me JJ Barrett from WVU Extension. JJ is an extension agent for the Ag and Natural Resources Department in Wood County. And JJ, thanks for joining me today. I'm so glad we got to meet a few weeks ago and that you were willing to hop into my podcast.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
We have our own Mountaineer Farm Talk podcast, so it's right up my alley.
All right. Well, because you're an expert, this is going to be the best one yet.
We'll see about that one.
So today I was hoping that we could talk a little bit about family dynamics and what happens on a farm, whenever maybe there's succession planning, maybe whenever there's difficult decisions and the stress that that might cause, and the ways that people may deal with that stress, and how we can help here at our extension programs. So in West Virginia, I'm sure farming ha may look different than here in Pennsylvania, but what types of farming do you have in West Virginia?
Oh, Sonia, we have, of course, just the all mix of farming. A lot in my county, we have mostly cow-calf. We have a few greenhouse operators, but I mean, it just depends on where you're at in West Virginia. If you're down in Mason County, of course, there's a lot more crop farming. We have some there in Wood County, but they're just kind of a mix. But we across the state. A lot of cow-calf operators, so there's a lot of forages, hay baled up, and then of course just a mix of all between greenhouse, soybean and corn and other row crops. But and the dynamic like there is across the nation, we have a lot of part-time farmers. Of course, as you know, it's kind of tough to make a go at it full time. So a lot of our farmers, they farm part time. They have a full time job, and then they farm on the side whenever they can get the work done there at the farm that they can. But and is that helpful for that question?
Sure, it is. Thank you.
Okay.
Do you have a lot of generational farms, like family farms that have lasted for years and years?
Oh yeah. In the Mid-Ohio Valley region and across the state, there's many farms that have multiple generation. Wood County, there's several. Because you're talking about succession, I guess it just depends on first of all, which of the family members want to operate the farm. Because a lot of when kids, even when they grow up on the farm, they graduate or they go to college, they go out, they get jobs, they build lives, and maybe they're not, they don't really want to be involved with the farm. So you have to I think that's one of the issues we have now is trying to interest some of our newer the next generation into operating the farm, and then the next problem is to operate it profitably so they can stay there.
Yeah, we see the same thing here in Pennsylvania, and I would imagine it's across the country. What sort of strategies would you recommend to a family who's trying to decide what the next steps might be for their farm, for their family farm?
Well, yeah, we were talking earlier about family dynamics, and I think that, excuse me, I think that it's something that we don't want to talk about because we like talking about day-to-day operation, and especially on the farm, we like talking about tactics and we like talking about jobs that need done right now, and we don't like talking about what's going to happen when mom or dad passes away, and then someone needs to take over the farm. Who's going to own the land? Who's going to operate the farm? What are our plans for the future? So I think maybe the first step is actually everybody sitting down and talking about that. And I would recommend to maybe try to find extension personnel or find someone that, I don't want to say a mediator, but someone that can help everybody talk through what they want to do with the farm.
Yeah, that would be
Because,
definitely a difficult conversation, especially when there's multiple siblings and maybe differing points of view.
yeah, we had several farmers. We had, I think 3 years ago, a gentleman from that I went to college with, Dave Marison. He is from Ohio State, and he that's one of his main focuses is family transfer of the farm. And he did a little presentation down in Wood County. But that's just some of the things that he talks about. You have to have that conversation and have some kind of a plan in place. Because if you don't, especially like you said, if there's several siblings, even if some haven't been involved in the farm in a while, when it comes to money, everyone wants a piece of the pie sometimes.
Yeah, as much as we don't want to think that sometimes it boils down to money, sometimes that is, people see dollar signs. There's land there, developable land, where there could be pressure from like people who want to build homes and build subdivisions type of thing.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a big, they're not making any more land, so and land values have really held or are just increasing. I mean, and there's some farms that are at one of my Farm Bureau meetings, there was some people some discuss interesting discussion about farm transfer, about the farm preservation. I'm sure they have that in Pennsylvania,
We do.
but the farmland preservation program, because I think there was a couple big farms that at one of our meetings, a person that works for one of the big real estate businesses came and talked. And a lot of times these farms will be, if it's 300 or 400 or 500 acres, it'll be split up. It's tough to see sometimes, but that's what happens if you don't have a plan in place for the next generation to take over. And I think that that's sometimes we forget about that, or there's not that communication in the family sometimes. Like I said, we're always, you were talking about before, about before the program started, about soybeans. I mean, this time of year right now, people are the forefront of their mind is not, well, what are we going to do with the farm after I am gone? They're thinking, I got to get my beans combined. I got to get these calves sold. I got to get this last cutting of hay done. I got to chop corn, or you got these everything else that goes on in life. Sometimes we forget about those things.
Yeah, I think sometimes that whenever people are living their day-to-day life between maybe another full or part-time job and their farm, there really isn't a lot of extra time to think about the what ifs and the what next.
Yeah, and like I said, I know the extension has several different programs, and there's even sheets. I think there's even a worksheet that Ohio State has. I don't know if WVU has one. I'm sure Penn State probably has a it kind of is an activity where you can go through and talk about and make plans for all the things that you it's kind of a checklist.
Yeah, we do have some webinars that are related to succession planning, but I don't know if people realize the stress that's involved with all of that, trying to mediate what everyone's feelings are, their attachments or their
Sure.
unattachments to the farms, to the farm life, really, and there's a lot of emotion that goes with that. And I'm sure it can be really hard for families who've experienced this to sometimes even see eye to eye later on.
Oh yeah, and it's and things have changed so much even the last 20 years with the technology, and we all carry this smartphone around. Before, you could kind of I guess before the cell phone, you could hide a little bit if you wanted to, but now you can't get away.
You
Someone's always
cannot.
texting you, or they're
That's
texting
right.
you, or and then also it kind of like texting. It's a way that sometimes you send a text or something because you're not actually talking with that person, and maybe communications can be misunderstood, or it also gives you a platform to reach out and maybe yell or at somebody, or put something, send some kind of a mean text immediately when something
Right.
happens and you don't think before you send those out.
I think that's a good idea to have these type of conversations in person, and so they're not misinterpreted, and there could be time to say, what did you mean by that? And tell me more. Like opening up the lines of communication that may have never really been addressed, as far as what are we going to do next?
Yeah, and I think with working with a couple families, it's very helpful for the, because we were talking about farm stress, everything that's going on, and sometimes if another party can help out to just get the conversation started with the older generation. Because as you know, and we deal with this some with my family, it's hard to let go of control of, the farm and the finances. Or I was at a seminar one time, and this gentleman had worked with a dairy farm, and he was saying that the younger generation, the gentleman that was dairy farming, he made another entrance into the farm. So whenever he sent coal cows to the brought to sale barn, that they could go out a different way, where his dad couldn't see it out the window.
Oh.
Crazy, crazy stuff like that. And, and I think with any organization, with any family or business, you have to get the next generation started in early, get them involved in the business, making decisions, paying the taxes, operating the business, give them confidence. And then that way, as I always say, like the Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty, once that you got the next generation in charge, then you can say, okay, you guys take over, and I'll, if you need me, I'll be there. But if not, I'm going fishing, or I'm going to do my other things,
Right. That could be. I like that you give the younger generation ways to build their decision confidence,
Sure.
like ways to make those farm decisions with sort of guidance so they can start to do them independently and feel like it's theirs as well.
Yeah, they have to make it their own. And then once you give them responsibility, and then you know that they can take care of it, and you can make your plan for the future. And then,
Maybe
unfortunately,
have a semi-retirement. Maybe. I mean, I
yeah,
don't know.
semi-retirement. Yeah, I
I
mean,
don't know of too many farmers who actually fully retire.
I think that, you were just talking about your dad, and I think that as long as they can, that keeps them moving, keeps them going in life, having goals and things, that they can be involved. And then, I mean, they might, after they reach a certain age, let the next generation take over operation, but they're still involved. They still help. They still have a role
Yeah.
to keep them, as you get older, something to do, goals, something to look forward to every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's not too many farmers out there that, after they reach a certain age, they want to just sit on the porch and sip apple cider
They may say they
or
want to, but they get bored really quick.
whiskey. That's right. They want to be out there doing something.
Exactly.
So they
Yeah,
want to look forward to do something.
So, do you have any other last thoughts or tips for families who are thinking about what to do next with their farm? How anything else that has come to mind as we're talking here this morning?
Well, I would say that anyone that's out there that is having issues, or they haven't got the conversation started yet, the first thing I would do is, like I said, you could contact your local extension office, and they should be able to, like I always say, I may not be able to give you the correct answers, but I know somebody that knows somebody that can help you out. And there's always an expert on family transition and succession for the farm, and get the conversation started, and take some steps to, because you never know what life's gonna throw at you, so it's better to be prepared.
I like that. Be prepared. So planning ahead, finding an expert, finding that extension
Find
person
that
who can
expert
be,
to help you.
find that person to help out and have open lines of communication so that way everyone can have a voice at the table for the next steps for that farm. So,
Sure.
yeah. JJ, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. You're doing great work there in West Virginia, and I look forward to
Thank you.
working with you again soon in the future.
Yeah, I'll have to have you on the Mountaineer Farm Talk.
Perfect. I'd be happy to join.
Okay,
Have a
appreciate
great
it.
day.
You too.